Amen. Enjoyed the singing and the songs tonight, and everyone that has participated. And my, isn't some people just full of surprises? Go ahead, Sister Pam. How many of y'all remember Brother Robbie Mulinax? Amen. He's going to be preaching our spring revival for us. And I'm really looking forward to that. Brother Robbie Mulinax grew up in one of the biggest churches in the South. He grew up in Tabernacle Baptist Church under the pastorship of one of the most famous preachers of our day, of my generation's day and the generation before me, Dr. Harold Seitler. And when Robbie was just little, he would sing in church just like that. And look at where he's at today. But one of my favorite stories that Brother Robbie ever told was the day when he was just a little boy and Dr. Seitler asked him. Now, Robbie grew up to be the music director in Tabernacle Baptist Church. But as a little boy, Dr. Seitler asked Robbie, he said, "Robbie, can you sing a song next Sunday?" He said, "Sure, Pastor, I'll sing a song next Sunday." He said, "Well, you practice and you get ready, and you be ready to sing next Sunday." And Robbie came next Sunday, proud, practiced up, and ready to go. And he got up there to sing, and they handed him the mic, and he began to sing, and "I had a little chicken, and it wouldn't lay an egg, so I poured hot water up and down its leg." Amen. Y'all remember him telling that story? I think he shared that here. I got a CD of Brother Robbie made a few years ago, and he put that song on that CD that he made, and he dedicated it to all his Sunday school teachers and everybody that remembered that. But, you know, I tell you what, it's amazing what little ones do when they grow up. Now he's one of our missionaries that is busy smuggling Bibles into China, amen, so that the underground church in China can have the precious Word of God. I don't know if you all have ever heard the song. I think we have sung it. I've sung it as I was preaching. I do sometimes, but it's called "There's a Famine in the Land." And truly, there's places in this world where there's a famine in the land. It was a song that was originally written about the Soviet Union and how they just longed for the Word of God, and some pages of the Bible had been smuggled in, and they all gathered in the house to read the pages. And I think about that song every time I think about Brother Robbie Mulinax and the folks in China. We've seen the YouTube video of the people who were getting a Bible for the very first time. You know, we take for granted what we have. I got Bibles all over the place. Amen. I got Bibles. I want a Bible near me anywhere I'm at so that in a moment's time I can lay my hand on a Bible. And you know, it's just something I take for granted, but there's people who just cherish a few pages of the Word of God, and we take it so for granted. I tell you what, we ought to just set our sights, set our goals, and set our hearts just drawing closer to the Lord. And that's what I want to preach to you about tonight in Exodus chapter number 33, if you'd turn there. Now, the man Moses, we all know about Moses and how he led the children out of Egypt and through the wilderness for those 40 years. But can you imagine and stop and think about what a task that had been given unto him? What a responsibility had been laid on his shoulders for these people. And I know at one point Moses interceded with God on behalf of the people and was willing to give up his inheritance and was willing to give up his birthright on behalf of the people. And then just a few chapters later, Moses was kind of disgusted with the people because of the way that they were going and the things that they were doing. And that's just the way people are. But I'm glad we serve a God that never changes. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he said today will still be true tomorrow. How many went home and looked up Monsanto this afternoon on the internet? Anybody? A few did. Amen. And wasn't it the truth? Amen. Lawsuits all over the place. I think Siemens is the other company. And Then we talked about Mountain Pride. If you just type in Ashe County, North Carolina, and type in Mountain Pride, I think you'll see that stuff come up. And if you wasn't here this morning, we was preaching on drinking from the broken cisterns. And one of the points we made was drinking from the cistern of socialism and how the government wants to be everything to everybody. And there's a purpose for that. You know, when we see the Word of God and we read it and we see things happening the way they're happening, we see a country that was so independent and so brash and so bold as America that in probably the last 100 years, America has become very, very bold and very taken with itself. Now, I'm an American, and I'm proud to be an American. I don't know about you, amen. I'm proud that this is the country that God allowed me to be born in and raised in, and this is the country that I swore an oath to defend with my life, and I went and I served my time to defend my country. But it's also a country that has become very perverse and has turned so far away from God and has got so wrapped up in itself that it has forgot who it is that has brought it this far. And our leaders around the world are trying to destroy the fabric of individualism that nations might rise up that are taking care of people. And we talked this morning about how Monsanto has lawsuits against farmers who are trying to save their own seeds. A multi-billion dollar corporation who's fighting the small farmers that are trying to save their seeds so that they don't have to buy the genetically modified seed and can replant seed that's open pollinated. Well, as long as you do that, you're able to supply your own need and take care of yourself. But if the government can erase that and eradicate that and make you dependent upon it, then it just sets the door, it sets the stage for the Antichrist to be able to do the things that we read about in the Bible. If you control the food, you control the people. It's a proven fact. You control the food, and you can make people dependent upon you to control the food. You will see that people will succumb to the mark of the beast. They'll succumb to the Antichrist in a heartbeat. Young people, you need to pay particular heed to what's going on around you and look at the Word of God. Listen to the messages that we preach. We preach them to help you. We preach them to encourage you. We preach them so you might understand what you're up against in this world. But let me tell you something. Irregardless of what the world has to bring your way, the Bible said that God told Jeremiah there that the people had committed two evils and that they had forsaken him, the spring of living water, and had hewn them out cisterns, and he said broken cisterns. Praise God. I'm glad that irregardless of what the world has broken and what the world can stagnate and try to bring your way, that praise God, he's still there. Amen. He's still that fountain of living water. He's still that spring that wells up within our souls. And I'm thankful that the same God that led Moses out of the wilderness is the same God that's going to lead me to the other side. Amen. The same God that brought Moses out of the wilderness and helped him endure all the trials and troubles that he faced is the same God that will help you today. It's the same God that will help me. He's the same God that I call upon in my time of need. And I'm thankful that he's there. In Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I'm glad there's always a place by him for those who want to be there. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hands while I pass by. And I will make my hand, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And it was just a few verses earlier how we read that Moses spoke with God face to face. It's one thing having a relationship with God and being able to stand and speak face to face with God and know that you're talking to God, and another to be able to experience and stand in all of his glory and all that he is. Amen. Some folks and some Christians and some people are satisfied with just knowing that they're saved. They're satisfied with just being there and having that assurance and that confidence in their heart. But praise God, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm like Moses, as he said here, I want to see your glory. I want to see more of you. I want to see more about you. I want to see you do great things. And praise God, I like that song, Great Things He's Done. Amen. I'm telling you, we have a God that is a God of great things. Amen. We have a God that is a God of great deliverance. I'm glad he's a God of a great salvation. But praise God, I'm glad it didn't stop at that. I'm glad he's there with me every step of the way, every day as I go through the struggles of life, in the little things and in the big things. Praise God, he's God. Amen. And I want to see him do great things. I want to see him do great things in Charlestown. I want to see him do great things through our young people. I want to see him do great things in this revival that's coming up. Be much in prayer for this revival meeting and for the young men that'll be speaking and for the young people that'll be here. Pray that God would just stir hearts and stir lives as only he can do. But if you want to see God do some great things, you got to look at what Moses said here and what Moses did here to get himself to the place. Now, this was just his attitude to prepare him. In chapter 34, God told him there were some things that he had to do before he could come up to see his glory. But his attitude of wanting to see God do some great things is listed here in these verses that we read. I look down in verse number 13, if you would, for a moment. And now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. If you want to see God do great things, first you got to have a desire within you to know what God's will and God's way and God's desire for your life is going to be. Amen. You'll never get close to God. You'll never get close to anybody until you know what it is that they desire of you and that they're looking for from you. I don't care. A couple can date forever, but until they get down to the point to where they figure out what it is that they each want from the other, they'll never have the right kind of a relationship that they need to have. Amen. And that's what the problem is with so many Christians. We want to be saved. We want to be a child of God, but we don't want to be bothered with knowing what it is that he wants from us and what he wants to do through us. Moses said, show me thy way that I might know you. He's not just talking about, you know, the path that you want me to go. He's not just talking about, he had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to guide him in where he wanted him to go as far as that way was. But Moses wanted to know God. He wanted to know all that he could about God, the ways of God, that he might know the will of God, that he might be found doing the things that are pleasing unto God, and that he might know more of God. How many wants to know more of God in 2015? Amen. Then you're going to have to do the same thing Moses did. You're going to have to say, show me thy way. The psalmist said, thy way is perfect. Amen. Thy way is perfect. God's way is perfect. And God's way of doing things is perfect. It might not suit our theology or our desires or our will or our way sometimes. Sometimes we got to, you know, when couples get married, you got two individuals, two separate personalities coming into a relationship. And there are some things that have to change. Amen? You know, she's got to shave a little off of here, and he's got to shave a little off of there so that they can work together. Bless you, Adam. Back there, huh? Still waiting, huh? Amen. But there's got to be some give and some take. There's got to be, you know, you was raised differently. You might have been raised in the same church, raised around the same people, but you was raised in a different home. And things they did one way, they don't do another that way in this house. The way your mama made biscuits ain't the way my brother-in-law's wife, she's from down on the Eastern Shore, and she invited us for biscuits and gravy one time, and she came out with these little old round things, about that big around. I said, what's that? She said, that's biscuits. I said, that ain't no biscuit. Whoever told you that was a biscuit? But I come to find out that down on the shore, that's a big thing. Them little old thing about that big around, about useless. Amen? I mean, that ain't no, it ain't even made like a biscuit. It's made more like a roll. No, they're just little round. Just, you know, your mama makes biscuits this way, your mama makes biscuits this way, and you're going to have to determine how the biscuits are going to be made or how the biscuits are going to be liked, one or the other. Amen? It's just the way it is. There's things that's got to change so that you can know the ways that each of you interact. But see, the thing in our relationship with God is God changes not. Amen. His way is perfect. There's nothing that needs to be modified in his way. When we have problems and we look at things and say, well, I don't agree with that, that's in the Word of God, then the problem's not with God. The problem will always be with you. And if a change has to be made, the change needs to be made in you. Amen. And guess what? I've had to make a lot of changes, and every now and then I still got to make some modifications. Every now and then, I still got to make some changes along the way to be in the way that God wants me to be. The psalmist said over in Psalm 27, he said, show me thy way that I might walk in a plain path. Show me thy way. Your way's perfect, God. Let me see your way. Moses said, I want to see your way that I might know you. Amen. You want to see the glory of God? You want to see God do great things? Get to know him. Amen. Get to know him. You want to really see somebody be a blessing in your life in some way, get to know him. Amen. The more you get to know him, the more that you can share, and the more you have in common, and the more you have a desire to know them and to be what they'd have you to be. But look on down in verse number 15. Not only do we need to seek God's way, we got to desire his presence. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses said, look, he said, I want to know your way, and I want your presence. Praise God, everywhere we go, we should go to places, and we should act in a manner and in a way that the presence of God would be with us. There are some places that God ain't going to take you. Now, there's no place where God's not. But I guarantee you, there's some places you can go that you won't feel the presence of God. Amen. There's some things that you can do where you won't feel the presence of God and the blessings of God in your life. There are some things that you can do that can separate you from fellowship with God. Moses said, look, he said, I don't want to be anywhere where you're not. Did you get that? I don't want to be anywhere that you're not. Is that your desire in your life? Is that one of your goals? It is to be wherever God wants you to be, when he wants you to be there, doing what he wants you to do? Amen? If you are, and if it is, and if you are, I don't care where you are. Now, next Sunday night, I think it is, Brother Yinka Fassenroe is going to be here with us, he and his family. He's a missionary to the country of Nigeria. How many knows what's going on in Nigeria right now? Amen. It's not pretty. I can't even think of the name. What's the name of that Muslim group? The Boko Haram. They're killing people. Guess what? Just before he left, a few months before he left Nigeria to come back, he had people coming from the Muslim-controlled north, begging him to come and preach revivals, begging him to come and help them get churches started, begging him to help them get the gospel to people who are starving, who are dying. You know where Brother Yinka pastors and ministers much of his time? In the north part of Nigeria. In one of the most dangerous places for a Christian man to be. But you know what? He's in perfect peace. He's in perfect safety. He has perfect confidence because he's where God wants him to be, doing what God wants him to do. I'm excited about him coming. I had to miss him the last time he was here. We was going to be away, or something happened, we had to be away. But the last time he was here, and the more I read his letters, and the more I get his prayer letters and read about the ministry he's got, the more God has just put a burden on my heart for this man of God that wants to. I tell you right now, I'm burdened for anybody that's willing to take the gospel to the Muslim people, wherever they're at. Amen? God just put that burden on my heart. I don't know if it's going to change them, but there are some faithful, faithful people among the Muslims that love the Lord. The safest place for you to be is where God is. And where God is going to be in your life is where he commands you to go. Moses said, look, he said, I don't even want to go to the promised land if you don't go with me. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but I'd rather wander around out here in the desert than to go into that land that's a bountiful, that land that's a land of plenty. I'd rather wander around here in the desert with you than to go over there. That's how I am distinguished. That's how the world knows me. That's how the world knows your people. It's because you go with us. Let me ask you this. Personal question. Is the Lord going with you? Or are you going on by yourself? Is the Lord where you are, wherever you are, whenever you are? Or are you there by yourself? When the world And I still say that's one of the greatest songs I've ever written. When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? It's an awesome, awesome song. Moses said, this is how we're distinguished. Because everybody else knows that you go with us. Is your life a testimony? Is your life a witness? Is your desire to be in God's presence and to have God's presence in your life and to be where He wants you to be? And lastly, Moses said, look, he said, I want to see your glory. I'm not satisfied with just seeing you face to face. And look, in verse 9, and it came to pass, Moses entered into the tabernacle and descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Look, Moses wasn't satisfied with just a little bit of the Lord. Moses wasn't satisfied. Moses spoke face to face with God and had to put a veil over his face because his face shone from being in the presence of God. Amen. Moses would go in and minister, and when he come out, the people couldn't even look upon his face because he had been in the presence of God. We're so satisfied. We're so content with what we have. But Moses said, Lord, I want to see more. I want to see more. And you know what God said? He said, I'll show it to you. I'll show you all that you can handle. I'll show you all that you're capable of grasping and comprehending. You know what? I believe we serve the same God today. Amen. I believe when we have a desire to see more of God and to see His glory, He'll show it to us if we desire it. Amen. God said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, there's a place here by me. Amen. You want to see the glory of God, you got to get close to God. Amen. You got to know God. You got to have a desire to be close. He said, I got a place right here by me. He had a place for Moses. Amen. I believe He's got a place for me. I believe He's got a place for you if we desire to be where He wants us to be, if we want to see His glory. Amen. He said, I got a place right here by me. Where was it? On the rock. Amen. Who's the rock? Jesus. Amen. You want to get close to God? You want to see the glory of God? Amen. The only way you're going to do it is standing upon that solid rock. Amen. The psalmist said, He brought me up out of the horrible pit and He set my feet upon a rock. Amen. He delivered me from my sin. Amen. The world, they want to see God do this, and they want to see God do that, and they want to see miracles, and they want to see hoo-ha and all this stuff, and they don't want to stand on the rock. And not only was He going to stand Him on the rock, but He said, when I pass by, He said, I'll place you. I will place you in the cliff of the rock. Not only are we saved and stand on that, I'm glad I can stand on that firm foundation. Amen. I'm glad I can stand upon that and claim it anywhere I go. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody tries to convince me. I'm saved and I know that I am. Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil can't take that away. Neither can religion. Neither can philosophy. Amen. Neither can a knife or a gun. I'm glad I'm standing on the rock. But praise God, I'm glad I'm established not only on the rock, but I'm established in the rock. He said, I'll place you in the cleft. Amen. How was I birthed into the family? Because of the rock. Amen. How was I made heir and a joint heir with Jesus? I was placed in the rock. Amen. I become part of the family. How did I gain that new birth? Praise God. I was birthed in the cliff of the rock. Amen. How am I going to see the glory of God? How am I going to see God do great things? I'm going to get saved, and I'm going to strive to get as close to God as I can. And he said, look, he said, I will put you in the cliff of the rock. And if I desire more of God, God will let me see more of him, and he'll put me in a place, and he'll put me in a situation, and he'll get me to the absolute perfect place for me to be able to see his glory as best as I can. You see, he said, no man can see my face and live. He said, but what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to get you to the place where you can see all of me and you can experience all of me that you can handle. Amen. Have you put yourselves in God's hand? You say, are you willing to say, Lord, put me where I can see you do the greatest work? Or put me where I can see your glory. The Hebrew word for glory is a word. Now listen to this. I thought this was interesting. It's a word, a kabod. It basically means weight. In science, it would be the mass of an object of matter. It's the substance of a person or a thing. For God, it's who he is, his character and his power. We know that God is love, and love is God's character and power. God's glory manifests and reveals his love. It reveals his mercy. It reveals everything about him, his grace. I'm glad that God will bring us to the place where we can see all of him that we need to see, and we can get all of him that we can handle. He said, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. And that doesn't mean that we're going to see lightning flash and hear thunderings. I thought about Elijah as he was there in the cave. And the Bible says in 1 Kings in 19, it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. You know, sometimes we miss the glory of God. We miss the blessing of God. We miss seeing God do great things because we don't desire it. What we desire is to see something that satisfies us carnally. Something tangible that we can understand. Elijah seen the wind and the earthquake, and he seen all the shaking and all the rumbling and all the noise. But God wasn't in all that. God was in a still small voice. Sometimes we're looking for people's accolades. We're looking for people's acceptance. We want people to appreciate us. We all want to be liked and appreciated. And we miss the glory of God because we're looking to people. Sometimes we look to the blessings of God, and how we want God to do great things, and we look to wealth and power and things, as we preached this morning. We want the things that we want. We want this car, and we want this electronic device, and we want this and that. Man, I heard that us folks in the CD age are done going the way of the 8-track. Did y'all hear that? There's a company, they're going to stop producing CDs. Auto manufacturers are now starting not to even put a CD player in an automobile. They're going the way of the 8-track tape. Y'all ain't never seen an 8-track, have you? No? I know they have. I got some at home. Had the 8-track, then you had the cassette, then you had the CD player. Well, first you had vinyl.
I had 78.
I'm not quite that old. Amen. But, you know, technology changes. Technology fades away. And we think that it's in technology. It's not. Brother Mike White said they held church in the forest when they could have it no place else. Had no technology, had no building, had no pews, had no heat, had no air conditioning. But praise God, they still had Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Because they desired to meet with him. And he showed up. He told Moses, said, yeah, I'll give you your desire. I'll give you all that you can handle. You've talked with me face to face, but now you want to see my glory. You've talked with me face to face, but now you want to see all of me. You want to experience all of me revealed. You've been saved, Christian, but now do you want all that God has for you? Do you want to know all that he wants to do for you? Are you willing to take the steps? Seek God's way. Seek God's presence. And then seek God's glory. And God says, yep, I will show you my glory. But there's some things you got to do. If you read over in chapter 34, there's some things that Moses had to do. And friends, there's some things that we need to do. We got to get rid of the hindrances to the relationship. We got to remove the scales from our eyes, the blinders that keep us from seeing God's way. We got to remove the desires for things that become more important than he is. We got to get sin out of our life. You know, Moses broke the tablets of the law. Before he could see God's glory, he had to hew out 2 new tablets. He had to clean some things up. He had to make some changes, even though he was a man that spoke with God face to face. And friend, it's no different for us. There's some things that we need to do. And tonight, as we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one...